Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, as I said, and Thabiso Ntobazana will be joining us just after 9 o'clock. I mean, isn't this quite something? This story has really rattled me. But we move on, and we move on to other stories of the week. Yesterday, President Cyril Ramaphosa arrived in Russia to meet his counterpart, Russian President Vladimir Putin, and they had some bilateral talks. They had a cordial, a lovely conversation. In fact, if you saw the visuals, they were quite warm, actually, a lovely hug and so on. And then today he addressed the BRICS summit grouping. But I want you to take a listen to that initial meeting and that initial conversation, because that actually is where the problem lies.
Excellency, Mr. President, dear friends, we're very happy to welcome you here in Russia, in Kazan. We thank you for your decision to take part in the BRICS summit, and this evening we will participate in the BRICS opening session. This year, Russia assumed the rotating chairship from South Africa, and we built our efforts taking into account the achieved results in Johannesburg. We prioritized the organic integration of new participants to the multi-layer architecture of BRICS, and in close contact with South African friends, we worked to agree upon on the state's partners category. The sectoral agencies of our countries interacted in financial sector to expand the use of national currencies in mutual settlements and to establish our own independent payment system. When it comes to bilateral relations, they are building upon the principles of a comprehensive strategic partnership, equality, and mutual respect. We have been developing political dialogue. Our foreign ministers are actively cooperating, as well as security councils. We have established interaction between parliaments. Trade and economic ties between Russia and South Africa are overall at a good level after a decline. It started growing in January, and to September this year, the growth is 3%. We have a lot to work on to diversify our trade and investment. Promising areas are energy, industry, agriculture, science, innovation. Russia and South Africa have been coordinating their efforts on the international arena to shape and establish a multipolar world order. And certainly, Russia pays a great deal of attention to strengthening relations with African states. Together, we've been working to put into practice the Russia-Africa joint documents that were adopted in St. Petersburg, the declaration and the plan of action till 2026. We look forward to the participation of your foreign minister at the Sochi foreign ministers meeting on the 9th and 10th of November. It will be the first Russia-Africa ministerial conference. Once again, welcome to Kazan. Greetings to you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your kind words of welcome. It's a real joy and a pleasure to be here in Kazan in Russia, and would like to congratulate you for hosting and being the president of BRICS, having taken over from us. As South Africa, we are sure that you will be able to chair our meeting and our summit, so that BRICS, as the enlarged BRICS body, will continue growing from strength to strength. We also do look forward, of course, to this evening, where we have been invited, and also to the summit itself, to participate with all other countries under your leadership to deal with matters that are of such great importance in geopolitical terms, in everything that is happening around the world, but also on matters that have to do with trade, with climate change, with peace and security as well. So we are delighted indeed to be here. We're also delighted to be here to brief you and others of the journey that we have embarked upon as South Africa. We've formed a government of national unity following our elections in May of this year. So we will have time, as I briefed you on the telephone, but we will have time to talk more about that and inform you how that whole process of governing South Africa with a number of other parties is evolving as we have sought to unite the country, to stabilize the country politically. And we're rather pleased that with your support in every respect, we've been able to reach this point in the history of our country. So we continue to see Russia as a valued ally, as a valued friend, who supported us right from the beginning, from the days of our struggle against apartheid, right through to now. So we're really delighted to be here and to know that we are going to have important discussions here in Kazan within the BRICS family. So thank you very much for welcoming us.
So that was yesterday, right? That was during bilateral discussions with the Russian President Vladimir Putin, where the President of the Republic of South Africa referred to Russia as an important ally. You may have heard that, and was delighted. Well, that didn't go down very well with the DA. Will continue on that vein, because what I am going to play you today is his address to the 16th BRICS summit in Kazan, in Russia, and then we'll get the DA to respond.
Allow me to start by thanking President Putin and the people of Russia for hosting this, the 16th BRICS summit, in this beautiful city of Kazan. It is fitting that we hold the BRICS summit in a city that is so rich in heritage and culture. As we embrace this new chapter in BRICS, as an expanded family of countries equally rich in history, culture, and capability. Our story as the BRICS countries is a story of solidarity, of mutual respect, and mutual benefit. BRICS is an inclusive formation that has the ability to change the trajectory of the Global South. To do this, we must realize the full potential of our economic partnership to ensure sustainable development for all and not just for some. We must undertake bold steps towards a mutual, shared and equitable prosperity for all. Like most of the world, South Africa desires the smooth operation of supply chains, trade, tourism, and financial flows free from external influence in a multipolar world. Working together, the BRICS family has an important role in addressing the key challenges of the Global South in partnership with like-minded emerging market economies. We look forward to the report that will be given by our finance ministers and central bank governors on the use of local currencies in international trade and financial transactions between BRICS members and their trading partners. A few days ago, the BRICS business entities gathered in Moscow under the stewardship of the BRICS Business Council to explore tangible trade opportunities between our countries. For South Africa, these endeavors, which are focused on practical results, are critical in addressing our country's central national priority of inclusive economic growth. For us, inclusive growth means, amongst other things, prioritizing women-led businesses. In this regard, we acknowledge the diligent work of the BRICS Women's Business Alliance to unlock economic value between the BRICS countries for the development, growth, and sustainability of women-owned businesses. As we seek sustainable development solutions, we must acknowledge the challenges posed by climate change. We must acknowledge the devastating impact on lives and livelihoods of our current climate trajectory. As South Africa, we remain committed to a just transition to a low-carbon economy. We are committed to the reduction of global emissions, guided by the principle of common but differentiated responsibilities and respective capabilities. While countries with developing economies remain severely impacted by climate change, they have contributed the least to the current climate crisis that the world is experiencing. It is therefore vital that industrialized nations honor their climate commitments and ensure a just and equitable transition. It is essential that climate actions do not deepen global inequality or stifle the developmental aspirations of the countries in the global south. To achieve the objectives of the BRICS Strategy for Economic Partnership 2025, we must further explore pathways to unlock opportunities and address challenges confronted by micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises that operate in BRICS countries. We must intensify cooperation amongst BRICS members by launching common development programs in the fields of exports, industrial cooperation, and technology exchange. We have called for the recalibration of trade rules to enable industrialization. The WTO must be reformed. We must enhance beneficiation of mineral endowments of BRICS countries closest to the source where these minerals are produced. This is important for development and for the advancement of our decarbonization goals. The unique role that is played by the New Development Bank as a multinational development bank is pivotal to the development aspirations of our group and emerging markets and developing economies at large. We commend the work that is being done and progress that is being achieved by the New Development Bank under the excellent leadership of our dearest sister Dilma Rousseff. It is one of the finest examples of the value of the BRICS group because it is supporting the growth and development of countries of the global south. And this is a great strength. And as we enhance the development of these countries, we also need to focus on peace and security in the world. The conflicts that continue to rage in the world are of great concern to us. The continuing conflict in Gaza, the Middle East, resulting in the death of so many Palestinians, is a matter of great concern. We must continue to insist that there should be a ceasefire with immediate effect, and that there should also be recognition for the self-determination of the Palestinians. We have achieved progress on a number of areas, and this level of progress that we have achieved must encourage us and inspire us to do more. And it must also make BRICS to become an even more effective instrument for global peace and for global progress at all levels, economic and otherwise. I thank you.
All right, so that's the audio by Cyril Ramaphosa, the President of the Republic, addressing the 16th BRICS Summit in Kazan in Russia. We also remember earlier on played you a clip from his bilateral conversations with Russian President Vladimir Putin yesterday. On the line with us is DA spokesperson Willy Okump. They, as the DA, are not happy with what the President had to say. Mr. Okump, thanks a lot for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. It's nice to be with Kai FM.
All right. So you as a DA released a statement today. John Steenhuisen, Minister Steenhuisen, has said this is not what represents us as the GNU government. Explain to us what you're not happy with. Just to make you aware, we played all clips, even the bilateral conversations yesterday, so the audience is quite aware of what the President had to say.
All right. Pumla, firstly, when we entered the government of national unity, we have agreed with all parties that things like international policy must be something that within the GNU there must be sufficient consensus about. Mm-hmm. Now, the President knows full well that we are, as the DA, totally opposed against Russia's war on Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And that we, as the DA, do not consider Vladimir Putin and Russia as our friend or our ally. Mm-hmm. Is invading, or he invaded a foreign country, an independent country, and he did that in a way that we cannot stand by something like that. So we spoke out against that. And as the DA, we insisted from the beginning of this GNU that we've got sufficient consensus on that. We must remember that in the past, the president was the president of the ANC as well as the country, but the ANC governed outright. That is not the case anymore. The ANC only got 40% at the polls, and they had to form a government of national unity with the emphasis on the unity within this government. And for the president now to go and stand on the international stage and say that on behalf of the and he spoke on behalf of the government of national unity, of which we and several other parties form part of, and then to say that we deem Putin and Russia to be our friends, while he knows that there are people within the government of national unity that does not see it that way. It is not acceptable. We must have consensus about international policy and how we speak out or against or for people in the world out there.
Okay. Last week, there was a clearinghouse mechanism meeting led by the current secretariat, the deputy president, Paul Mashatile. And I'm told, you have to clear this for us, I'm told one of the things that was on the agenda is the president going to the BRICS summit. Did this come up in that meeting?
I am not a member of that meeting. I'm not a member of cabinet. I'm the spokesperson for the DA. So unfortunately, Pamela, I can't tell you whether that was on the agenda. Mm-hmm. What I can tell you, though, is that that is the reason for the clearinghouse or the technical committee. There's a lot of names for that thing. But the reason for that is that all parties knew from the beginning of this GNU that there might be issues that we do not agree with each other on. And that is why this mechanism has been put in place to resolve disputes. Unfortunately, it has not been used to resolve this international policy issue. There were other things that should have also gone through that. But I believe that in future, as we go along, we within the GNU, we know the importance of this GNU and that we've got to protect the GNU, and that this clearinghouse or technical committee will be used more and more to iron out differences between the members of the GNU so that we can really be a united government of national unity, with the emphasis again on unity. It's just very important, and I want to mention that at this time where we are now as South Africans, we are experiencing a renewed optimism with first real prospects of economic growth in almost two decades. And our government simply cannot afford to make statements that could jeopardize the international relations and trade opportunities that we've got. Just to give you an idea, I don't know why, but the rand tanked to the dollar this afternoon with about 30 cents. To the dollar. Now, I don't know what the reasons are, but we must be very careful with what we say out there in the international community. For us to say that a person to whom we know there's an arrest warrant out for him, and our president stand on a stage and say, "You are my friend. You will be known by your friends." And we must be very careful that the world out there does not see that we deem a person like Vladimir Putin as our friend, and maybe then they don't want to be friends with us as well. So we've got to put South Africa's interests first, and not historical allies that the ANC might have had with Russia or with Vladimir Putin. We've got to put the interests of South Africans first and not do anything that jeopardizes what is in the best interest of our people.
I appreciate that you're not a member of this technical team of this so-called clearinghouse mechanism meeting, but there will be a subsequent meeting tomorrow, in fact. Has the DA resolved that they want to put on the agenda what the president said at the BRICS meeting?
Anati, I have not spoken to our person representing us there, Minister Dean McPherson, today. So I cannot, unfortunately, give you an answer. I believe, though, that this will be something that we will put on an agenda of that meeting. Whether it is tomorrow or on a later stage, I do not know. I don't know whether this is on the agenda. It might very well be that it will be on the agenda, but I don't want to tell you something of which I do not have the information at this moment. Should we have the opportunity to do that, I'm quite certain that we will do, because this is a very contentious matter. And as I say, if you see the reactions in markets, there wasn't anything else going on in the market that could have triggered it. I don't know whether it was this, but we've got to be extremely careful. We cannot, and we as South Africans should never consider an authoritarian regime that is violating international law by waging an imperialist war on somebody as our ally. And there might be consequences for that. And we cannot do that on the international stage, knowing that there is a possible risk to the people of South Africa. Financially, we've got to grow the economy and we've got to reduce the unemployment rate. And that must be our primary objectives, not being in the good books of Vladimir Putin.
The statement released by the secretariat of this mechanism, the clearinghouse GNU mechanism, Paul Mashatile, said today, the mechanism will not override cabinet decisions, as the executive remains the first decision-making body in government and final decision-making body in government. They say the GNU signatories develop a common understanding of critical policy matters. In other words, this seems to tell us that they're not going to be changing policy decisions. They're just merely going to be informing GNU partners that everybody sort of is on the same page, but not really any difference will be seen by the entering of government by a GNU partners, the other nine GNU partners. Did you understand it as a DA to be different to that?
Your summarization of this is not correct.
No, that's not mine. It's not mine. Sorry, I was reading from their statement.
Okay. What the this clearinghouse mechanism or technical committee is to iron out things so that the executive, which is cabinet, be on the same page when they make decisions. It is perfectly clear that this clearinghouse cannot make decisions on behalf of cabinet. Cabinet remains cabinet. But the reason for this clearinghouse or technical committee to be there is exactly and precisely to iron out the problems that might be there so that when cabinet makes a decision, it's a unanimous decision as far as possible. We must remember another thing. In the agreement of intent for the GNU, there was a clause built in that said that there must be sufficient consensus. And that sufficient consensus had a percentage connected to it. It said that 60% of the GNU must agree to something. So for the clearinghouse is there to help and assist that at least 60% of the GNU will agree to something. But it again brings us back to the point that cabinet and government now is not an ANC outright government. It is a government consisting of the ANC, the DA as the two biggest parties, as well as a number of other parties. And the object of this clearinghouse technical committee will be to find consensus. It remains cabinet's prerogative to make the final decisions, but this clearinghouse has got to try and make sure that those decisions will be unanimous.
Do you get the sense,
as far as possible?
Yeah. Do you get the sense, which is the sense I'm getting, and maybe others are also getting the sense, that you haven't even found consensus yet on the basis of what it is that you're going to agree on? So you don't even have a consensus even on what their understanding is, as opposed to what you've just told me. Of course, you are referring to the statement of intent. They've just outlined for themselves what they believe this clearinghouse mechanism, a technical team, is going to be doing. Do you get the sense that actually you haven't even gotten consensus on the overall broad picture of what it is that this unity is about?
I think that there is consensus with all the parties within the GNU that the Clearinghouse Technical Committee doesn't have any authority to make final decisions, but that it is there exactly to say what it is, to clear out the House, to make sure that there are no issues within the House. I think it's very important as well to say that up to now, we are a lot of times concentrating on issues that arise where there are differences. Mm-hmm. But we must, as a nation, understand that there are way more issues that we do agree upon that will not even see the inside of the technical committee or clearinghouse, because there has been consensus reached on that before. And mm-hmm. it's very important that we must understand that. So for this clearinghouse to be there mm-hmm. is to iron out those few problems, hopefully few, where we do not find each other immediately. For okay. parties to sit around the table and to have the boldness and the trust and the respect for each other to speak out in a collegial way and put your case and try to convince the other people to get in line or with your decision or with your stance. Mm. It's just very important that the ANC must be, they must know, and they must act in a way that they can show the people that they know that they do not have a majority anymore. They are a 40% party, in actual fact 39.8%. So they do not govern alone. And if this clearinghouse should be a house or a mechanism where people within the GNU will only be notified of decisions that's been made and that's it, then there's absolutely no reason for this clearinghouse. Then they could have called it a information session house. So that is not the idea. I think that we are on the same page with regards to the objectives of this clearinghouse. And from the Democratic Alliance side, we will go into any differences that we've got with an open mind and trying to accommodate everybody. I again come back to say that in every decision that we are going to make, the Democratic Alliance will ask two major questions. The first one is, is what we are deciding on now going to grow our economy? And the second one is, will this reduce the unemployment rate? In other words, will it help us to create jobs? If we do that in South Africa, we can turn around our economy. It will take time, but we will do it. How do you eat an elephant? Piece by piece. And that is what we've got to do here.
So why did the DA not use the mechanism to raise these issues? Because the meeting is tomorrow.
Well, we've used the mechanism. Remember, tomorrow is the second meeting of this mechanism.
Yes.
We've actually been a bit frustrated that this mechanism hasn't been put in place before. In the past, we believe that Bella should have been dealt with by this mechanism before the president signed it into law. So there are things that we want to have in that mechanism that must be discussed. Again, I come back. It might be that it is on the agenda. Unfortunately, I cannot confirm that for you. What I do think, as I said earlier on, is if it is not on the agenda, I am quite sure that the Democratic Alliance will ask for it to be on an agenda of a next meeting or to be discussed in Cabinet itself. But this will be discussed. I mean, there's no way that we will just leave it as it is. This needs to be ironed out, definitely.
DA spokesperson Willie Orcombe, thank you so much for your time.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.